about it, Heavenly Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're going to read the whole chapter. Because I like reading the Bible. Is everybody all right? And I feel like it's my job to teach you the Bible. And so anyhow, I try to do that even in the sermon. And we're going to do that tonight. Teach you a little bit about 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're dealing with the church at Corinth. And we're dealing with a bunch of Gentiles, all right? We're dealing with a bunch of people that did not grow up under the law. They did not study under the law. They were saved by grace. Hallelujah. Amen. They were saved by grace. And they had not the training or the teaching of the law, the Mosaic law. Which was a battle in Paul's ministry with those that were Jews that were wrapped up in Judaism. They would follow Paul around, and anywhere he would establish a church, they would go in and they would cause division in that church and tell them that, oh yeah, you can be saved, but you're going to have to conform to the Mosaic law in certain aspects. One of those would be in circumcision and was a big one. But anyhow, so Paul had to address these people differently. You have to remember, Paul wasn't just after his own people. Paul, the Bible tells us that Paul was a Jew. The Bible tells us that Paul was a Pharisee. The Bible tells us a lot about Paul as being a Hebrew. But as we look at Paul, now he's on his missionary journeys, and now he's reaching people of different nationalities. And here at this church at Corinth was an example of this. Now, I will say this, because a lot of people say, how is the Bible relevant? But if you go and you read the book of Corinthians, you'll find out real quick that the church at Corinth is a lot like the churches today, all right? And I need somebody to help me. Lord, help these churches that name themselves Corinth Baptist Church, all right? I mean, I love them. Listen here, I ain't saying there ain't nothing wrong with them churches, but I would find a different name, all right? And praise God, I'm glad God did some things at the church at Corinth, but boy, they was rough, all right? And so this group of individuals Paul is writing to, and this chapter number 9, is actually a continuation of chapter number 8, all right? And so the Bible is inspired. Somebody say amen. The Bible is inspired, but the chapter divisions and the verse divisions aren't. All right, and you'll hear some people say that they are, and they would be wrong. All right, they're not. So a thought continues on. Doesn't just because a chapter changes doesn't necessarily mean that the thought changes. All right, just because a verse changes doesn't mean the thought from the previous verse changes. All right, and so just so you understand these type of things, we're in 1 Corinthians, but it is a continuation from 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we've just moved into chapter number 9. I'm going to give you a summary of chapter number 8 because we could read it. It ain't that long, but we're not going to, all right? So the church there at Corinth, being that they weren't Jews and being that they weren't under the Mosaic law, they were a lot like Americans. They wanted something cheap. Can I get a witness? So when they went grocery shopping, they did it at the cheap places, right? And I get it. Some of y'all go and get your food at Publix and everything else, and then the rest of us go to Walmart. And Winn-Dixie, all right? Is everybody all right? And Sam's, if you saved up some money and really want to save, but you got to pay some up front to say, you know what I'm talking about. But anyhow, what they were doing was they were going to the temple and they were buying meat from the temple that had been sacrificed to idols. All right. Now, this caused a problem, as you can imagine, with the Jews and how they would receive this. So say I was to invite a Hebrew over to my house, being a Gentile, and I had gone out to the market and I got some good steaks, right? Because I could get them cheaper from the temple, but they were offered to sacrifice, or they were offered to idols. the Jews was having a big problem with this, all right? And so Paul, he addresses this in chapter number 8, and he says, look, he tells these Gentiles, listen, you have liberty and you can do that, because we know that an idol is nothing. Can I get a... Is everybody all right? A piece of wood or a piece of gold hanging up on there, a little statue or whatever, little fat boy Buddha, he ain't there, all right? It ain't nothing, all right? And Paul said, it ain't nothing. We know that it's not nothing, so you have the liberty to do so, but if your liberty is causing others to stumble, then you should be willing to sacrifice. You should be willing to do some things differently so that your in your liberty, the gospel is not offended.
Amen.
The gospel is not offended. So we go to chapter number 9, and Paul's keeping the same thought, but now Paul is giving an example of how he has restrained or refrained himself and how he has made some sacrifices according to his ministry, all right? So in chapter number 9, I'll start reading in verse number 1. It says, am I not an apostle? And Paul all the time is having to defend his credentials as an apostle. And he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? In other words, when he says, am I not free? This is what Paul's saying. He's saying, I'm under the authority of no one but Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. In these days, an apostle was under the authority of Jesus Christ, and everybody in the church was under the authority of the apostles. Is everybody with me? And Paul's letting them know, I'm not under the authority of Simon Peter or John or James or any of them. I'm under the authority. I am free. Am I not free? I'm free. I'm under the authority of Jesus Christ. He says, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Then he says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. I mean, he started this church. This is what he's saying. He said, even if you don't think I'm an apostle to every church that's out there, you can at least agree that the one that I birthed, the one that I founded, the one that I started, I'm the apostle. I have authority over that, right? And so he says, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. He says, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? In other words, this is what Paul's saying. Don't I have the right to eat and to drink? All right, stay with me, all right? Because this, I'm getting to preach some things that I wouldn't normally get to preach, but I just wanted to do it, all right? Really, it is what it is. He says, have we not the power to eat and drink? He said, in other words, don't I have the right to eat and drink? He says, have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord? And Cephas, this is what he's saying. He's saying, don't I have the right to eat and drink? But then he says in the next verse, don't I have the right to bring my wife along with me or a sister along with me if I want to, like the other apostles do?
Amen.
Hey, he said, he even calls out Simon Peter. That's who Cephas is. He says he gets to bring his wife along. Is everybody all right? This is for all the Roman Catholic people in here. I just want to help y'all out, all right? Y'all think that Simon Peter's the first pope, and the pope has a vow of celibacy, but Peter didn't.
That's right.
Peter had him a wife. Is everybody all right? All right, I just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody was leading over that way, all right? But anyhow, he said the other brethren of the Lord, they bringing their wives with them, all right? He goes on. He said, don't I have the right to bring my sister, my wife, or whatever with me. Verse number, next verse. Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? In other words, he says, am I and Barnabas the only one that is exempt in all of this? This is what Paul is addressing. He's saying, you're taking care of the apostles with money.
Amen.
He says, you're taking care of their families that they're bringing with them. He says they're eating, they're drinking, they're sleeping, their clothes, everything. You're providing for them. He says, am I and Barnabas? We're the only ones that are made to work.
Amen.
Oh, is everybody all right? I ain't want no money. Is everybody okay? I'm good. I'm great. All right. This ain't got nothing to do with me. But this is what Paul was saying. Because I hear this all the time. I hear this all the time about preachers shouldn't be getting paid and they ought to be out there doing another job. Paul's addressing this church and he's saying, you're paying these other apostles and you're taking care of them and doing all of that. And here I am, I'm giving all this labor. Me and Barnabas are doing all of this and y'all won't provide for us. We're having to go out and work a second job and minister to you. Go to the next verse. He said, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? He says, does the king send a soldier out and tell him, all right, you're going to have to buy your own food. You're going to have to buy your own clothes. You're going to have to buy your own weapons. Is everybody? Y'all don't get quiet. Y'all ain't supposed to get quiet right here, all right? All we doing is reading the Bible. You're not supposed to get quiet when we're reading the Bible. He says, does somebody go out at his own charges? Or he who planteth a vineyard, does he not get to eat of the fruit thereof? Does he have to plant the vineyard and he can't go out there and pick the fruit off the vine and eat it himself? Or how about somebody that feeds the flock? Does he not get to eat of the milk of the flock? He says this, say I these things as a man? We're going to the next verse. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? Ooh. Paul's saying, I got some scripture for this. I'm not just saying it as a man. He said, I got some scripture for this. Let's go to the next verse. He says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? In other words, Paul said, even we have a principle of this, even in the law, that you cannot muzzle the ox that is treading out the corn. In other words, if he's working, he gets the reward of what he's doing. Is everybody all right? And then he said this, doth God take care for the oxen? In other words, was that law written so the oxen could take them all the way back to the law and say, now look here, right here, it says that God said, you can't muzzle me. No, it wasn't written for the oxen. I'm having fun. I love it when I get to preach. This ain't got nothing to do with the message. All right, verse number 10. Here we go. So it does actually. I'm just kidding. All right, so, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. What was written? That you can't muzzle the ox. All right, it was written for our, it was written for us. All right, for our sakes. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. He says the reason that we do this is so that, or the reason that God did this is so that somebody that works in the labor can receive from their labor. They have a hope that they'll receive or reap what they're sowing.
That's right.
Verse number 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? In other words, if I'm pouring into you spiritually and spiritual things, is it so much to ask that you provide for my needs and take care of me? This is what Paul's saying to him, all right? Now, go to the next verse. He says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Paul said, we founded this church, and you're doing, this is what Paul was saying. Everybody listen to him. Here's what Paul was saying. Every time the evangelist comes in, y'all want to strike up and give him some money.
That's right.
But what about the pastor that's here and started the church and is working? This is what he was saying. If others, the other apostles, be partakers of this power over you, or they're receiving from you, are not we rather? He says, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. All right, here's the punchline. Is everybody with me? Paul said, I have every right to ask you for everything that you're doing for these other apostles, but he says, I have not done it.
Right.
He said, because I don't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. He goes on. He says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things in the temple? He's making a direct reference to the priest and the table of showbread and how they would get to minister, how they would get to eat from the holy thing, from the things in the temple. there in the temple. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Verse number 14, we're getting through it. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Is everybody right? Y'all ain't gonna like this, but this is how it is. I wish I could preach it in every church, but the Bible is saying that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. In other words, they should be taken care of so that they ain't out there tending to other things and trying to feed the flock.
Amen.
Verse number 15. But I have used none of these things, Paul says. I've not used any of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. This is what Paul's saying. I ain't taking advantage of this. I have every right to ask for it, but I have not taken advantage of it. And he says, I ain't doing it now. He said, and even though I'm writing this to you, he says, I'm not doing it so that you'll strike up and start paying me. He says that it should be for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. In other words, he says, I will not have somebody call me a hireling. I will not have somebody say that I'm doing what I'm doing just for the money. Amen. He said, I'd rather die than somebody to look at me and say, oh, he's only doing that because of the money.
That's right.
Verse number 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Listen to this. For necessity is laid upon me. Paul said this, I have to preach the gospel. I have to. I don't get a choice in this. I don't get to choose what I want to. I have to preach the gospel. Necessity is laid upon me. And you can't understand that unless you understand the calling. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He's saying this. He says, I'm more worried about what God will do to me.
Amen.
If I don't fulfill my calling.
That's right.
And therefore, I'll do my calling even if it's at a cost to me or even if I have to do it for free. Is everybody with me?
Right.
Next verse. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. He says, if I do it willingly or if I don't do it willingly, I still am responsible for doing it. I need somebody to help me. I love these guys. There's so many people out there wanting to preach the gospel. I don't want to deal with y'all all the time. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Man, I liked it when I worked at the chemical plant. I worked midnights. I didn't have to bother with anybody. I could sit at my desk and watch that thing run itself. Is everybody all right? And got paid good to do it. Didn't have to hear, it's too cold in here. It ain't got enough. We ain't got no parking over here. We ain't got this. I didn't have to hear none of that.
Amen.
Paul said, whether I'm doing it willingly or whether I'm doing it against my will, I got to do it.
That's right.
An administration, a dispensation of the gospel has been given to me. God has given me a charge and I have to do it. Whether I do it willingly, whether I do it against my will, I got to do it. Verse number 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Once again, Paul says, I have the right. I'm not going to abuse my right in the gospel. I'm not going to abuse my power in the gospel. Once again, he's referring to the rights that he has to be paid by the church at Corinth. And he's saying, I'm not doing it if it offends the gospel, if it causes others to turn from the gospel. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
He dealt with them over the meat from the temple. And he said, listen, if you're going to offend somebody, a brother, then it's better that you don't partake of it. Make that sacrifice so that you don't offend another. because we have the ministry of the gospel. Is everybody with me? Amen. And Paul said, just in case you think that I'm only preaching at you, I want you to know that I've made sacrifices too. There's things that you should be doing to take care of me and you're not doing them. But he said, I, instead of abusing my power, instead of standing up and saying, bless God, I ain't gonna do nothing till y'all start paying me, Paul said, I have done this freely and I have worked. Me and Barnabas has worked ourselves, even though you're taking care of these other apostles. Okay?
Amen.
So what Paul's saying is, I'm not asking you to do something.
That's right.
Help me. I ain't asking you to do something that I'm not doing. I'm not doing. Is everybody with me? So, we're going to, the message is going to start in the next verse. That was just fun. Does everybody have fun? So, here's where it all come about. So, I went to eat somewhere. And when somebody finds out that I'm a preacher, all of a sudden, everybody wants to talk spiritual to me, all right? Listen, I like it when you don't know I'm a Christian. You're just cussing and carrying on like yourself, all right? I don't like it when all of a sudden you try to be spiritual and you're not.
Amen.
So I'm sitting there with somebody. Have y'all ever noticed this too? People will say things and y'all help me right here. People will say things and you look at them and you're wondering, do they hear what's coming out of their mouth? So anyhow, I was eating with an individual and they were telling us, we were talking about Easter was coming up. Of course, I've been fired up about Easter. Y'all been fired up about Easter. Y'all ain't fired up about Easter. I don't care whether you are or not. But for the last 10 weeks, I've been thinking about nothing but Easter, all right? I'm excited about what God's going to do for Easter. And I'm talking about, I've been counting down the weeks and the Sundays till we get to Easter. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. But I was talking to a fella, Brother Josh, and he was letting me know that he didn't particularly, Jesse was with me. You all right, Jesse? Jesse got his head turned down. But yeah, Jesse, you know where this is going. I sitting there talking to this man, and anyhow, he was letting me and Jesse know that Easter was coming, and he didn't like it. He didn't like it. So all these people come to church. Don't ever come to church. Is everybody all right? Don't act like y'all ain't thought it. All these people, come, we call them CEO Christians. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Christmas and Easter only Christians. They come on Christmas and they come on Easter. Matter of fact, Christmas Eve, 700 and something people showed up at our church on Christmas Eve, all right? We ain't never had that many people come, but on Christmas Eve, 705 people showed up at Calvary Baptist Church. At Easter, we're looking for 800 people. He was letting me and Jesse know, boy, he didn't like that Easter stuff. All them people start coming to church around Easter time. And when they come to church, the preacher stands up and asks all them people that are paying their tithes to give up their seat, to give up their parking. I'm having fun. I can already tell some of y'all been running your mouths in the dark. It was like a God thing, Jesse. I was sitting there and I'm trying to be nice to the guy when I wanted to pull the chair out from under him, watch him fall all over the ground and push him down like, somebody needs to be saved. Amen. But boy, he was upset that somebody would ask him to give up his seat so that these people that's only going to come one time a year, they're going to come. Now, Jesse was trying to smooth things over. I was wanting to hit him, but Jesse was trying to smooth things over. Jesse said, well, they might get saved and they might come more than once. And I was thinking, I'd rather have them than, but anyhow. Anyhow, I didn't have the words, Jesse. I didn't have the words to say. But anyhow, I was listening to this and I was thinking to myself, you know, that attitude is in all of us. Don't be getting all self-righteous on me right now, because I can prove, and I don't think it'd be very hard to prove, that you and I are pretty much self-centered.
Amen.
It's all about us, and it's all about meeting our needs, and everybody else, they can, you know, they can go take a back seat, they can go somewhere else, they can find them another church. Paul's telling these folks, he's saying, hey, listen here, there's some sacrifices that you need to make for the sake of the gospel. And he says, I'm not asking you to do something that I hadn't done, because there are sacrifices that I'm making for the sake of the gospel as well. And I think we need to understand this as we coming up on Easter. And I'm going to be try to be very quick as we preach this tonight. But I want to say this. There's some things that you and I, we need to change our mindset when it comes to visitors walking in the church. We need to change our mindset when it comes to people that aren't churched, or somebody that is only going to come maybe once a year, or is only going to come maybe twice a year, or whatever the case may be. We have got to learn to make sacrifices ourselves. Look at the next verse. The Bible says, for though I be free from all men, he says, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul said this in scripture. He said, as all these guys are apostles, he says, I'm more so. He says, because I've labored, I've suffered, I've gone through a lot more than a lot of these guys. If anybody had a right to say, listen here, you need to put my name out on the marquee sign. You need to make sure that I got a seat front and center. You need to make sure that the best seat in the house is mine. You need to make sure that you put a proper title on me. You need to make sure that you pay me the right amount of money. You need, Paul, if anybody had a right to say those things, it was the Apostle Paul. He did more for the gospel's sake than anybody in the history of that Bible. Matter of fact, you're holding a Bible in your lap because Paul went and preached the gospel to the Gentiles, brought it into Macedonia, brought it into Europe, and you and I have the Word of God in our lap this morning because Paul said, I must of a necessity preach the gospel. If anybody had a right to demand some things, it was Paul. But I want you to look at what Paul said. No, go back to verse number 19. You were doing good. You're good. Paul says, though I be free from all men, yet I have made, or yet may, have I made myself a slave, a servant. Paul said, I have every right to ask all these things of you. I have every right to demand all these things of you. But he said, I have made myself a servant. I want you to notice first off with me, Paul's service. I want you to notice his service. Paul says, I made myself a servant. And I have, and as we've already seen, not only he made himself a servant, but as we've already seen, Paul has served with sacrifice. Paul has served as a servant, not as the main dude, not as the preacher, not as the pastor. He has served as a servant, and he has served in sacrifice. Now, let's talk about us. Let's talk about our credentials. Let's place mine and your credentials right up next to Paul's. How many churches have you started? How many miles have you walked to make sure somebody heard about Jesus? How many times have you shared the gospel? How many times have you suffered shipwreck? I got to be careful. Is everybody all right? How many times have you suffered shipwreck? How many times have you been beaten? Oh, come on now. Has anybody been stoned? And I ain't talking about drugs. Is everybody all right? Don't be raising your hand. I know I got some in here. Don't raise your hand. How many of you been stoned, as in somebody picking up a stone and trying to kill you with it?
That's right.
How many of you has been hungry? Hungry. I'm talking about, I ain't talking about hangry. I'm talking about not having no food. I'm talking about not having no shelter. I'm talking about having the things, the essentials that you and I would consider to be necessary for life. And Paul went without for the sake of the gospel. How many barbarians have you showed up on their island with? If the man that could do all of that said, I'm a servant, how much so should you and I be servants? I'm with you. Don't think I'm putting you down, because I ain't walked no miles. I ain't walked to no other villages. I ain't walked to no other places in the earth and with the heathen and all of that, and places where I could have died. I ain't been persecuted. I ain't never been stoned. I ain't never been whipped, scourged, beaten. I ain't never had to go through any of that. I ain't never been without. Paul said, I made myself a servant unto all. Why? Paul's saying the gospel is more important than your comforts. The gospel is more important. The people getting saved is more important than you getting your way. We see his service, number one. Number two, I want you to notice Paul's steadfastness. I love these verses. Let me go ahead and read some of them. He says, I'll read 19 and then we'll go to 20 and read down a little bit. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He's talking about people getting saved. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Paul said, to the Jew, I've become a Jew. He was a Jew. But he's saying, to the Jew, I've become a Jew. To those that are under the law, I've become that. For what purpose? So that I might gain them. Is everybody with me? So we see Paul doing some crazy stuff in the book of Corinthians and the writing. He's going to Jerusalem to do the washings and to do these other things. You're like, Paul, you said we didn't have to do those things. You just said we didn't have to esteem this day greater than the other, or this thing. We didn't have to do all these things. Why are you going to do this ceremonious cleaning and washing and all these things? And Paul answers it. Paul says, no, I have liberty. I am free. But if it means one of them getting saved, then I'll do it. Is everybody all right? If it means that I'll have an open door to minister to somebody, he says, I'll do it. Look at the next verse, just in case you thought that he was all getting back into Judaism. He says, to them that are without law. He's talking about the heathen now. He's talking about the barbarians. He says, to them that are without law, as without law. He says, in other words, I become a Jew to those that were Jews. He says, but the heathens, I become as a heathen.
Amen.
But don't take it too far. Look at the parentheses. Being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ. He says, I may do some things so that them and I can connect, but I ain't forgot who I was. In other words, there's some things that I'm going to be steadfast about. To the Jew, I become a Jew. To the Gentile, I become a Gentile. To the heathen, I become a heathen. To the Judaite, I become a Judaite. He says, but there's a place that I ain't going. Says, I ain't going to compromise. I got two things. He ain't going to compromise in his steadfast man. He wasn't going to compromise the message. What was the message? The gospel, Jesus Christ. Those washings, those things that they were doing, they were all, they had no power behind them. But Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, I'm not changing the message. Understand me. I'm not changing the message. I may be changing the methods, but I'm not changing the message. I might switch it up, but I'm not changing the message. I'm not going to compromise the message, and I'm not going to compromise my testimony. Amen. Paul says, I'm under the law to Christ, which places me under the law to God. Amen. Me being in Christ puts me under the law of God. That means I don't have... I need somebody to hear me. Paul says, I've become all things to all men that I might win some. But Paul says, I'm not compromising my testimony. In other words, I'm not delving into sin to try to win somebody. I hear this junk all the time. People talking about, they use these verses and they take them, slam out of context, and they act like that they can go live their life because they're trying to connect with people that they might win some, but they're not winning anybody. All they're doing is turning people away from Christ. Amen. Paul said, that ain't what I'm talking about. Once again, that I might gain them that are without law. Paul's, is everybody, y'all seeing this? Paul's wanting to see people saved. We see his service. He served as a servant. He served with sacrifice. We see his steadfast. He was not going to compromise the message, which is the gospel, and he was not going to compromise his testimony. But then I want you to, I hope you've already got this sense. But his supplication, in other words, his desire, his prayer, his need, he wanted to see others saved.
Amen.
It was more important, Jesse, that you get saved than for Paul to have any accolades or any laurels placed upon his name. His supplication, he was focused on the lost. Everybody with me? He was focused on the lost. I've heard this in my life. I've heard this so much in my life about, well, as a church, the church is for the Christians. And I get it. I understand where they're coming from. But listen here. Everybody that's sitting in the church at one time wasn't a Christian. And so the sole purpose of the church is not just to edify and build the Christians, but it is also to reach the lost.
Come on now.
And Paul was focused on reaching the lost. And Paul was so focused on it that he was willing to sacrifice his own comforts to make sure that somebody heard that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect, sinless life. Went to a cross and died in their place so that they did not have to suffer the wrath of God and spend an eternity in hell. He was buried, and 3 days later, he overcome death. He overcome the grave. He resurrected out of the tomb to show that he had power over it all, and those that were his would do the same. Paul was focused on the lost, because his heart was full of compassion. His heart was full of love. I need y'all got to help me. Do you realize, I'll spend just a minute here. I got to get back. But do you realize that unless you're actively going out and soul winning, your part in these crown of rejoicing happens right here in this church.
That's right.
And on the mission field if you're supporting missions.
That's right.
Paul said this about the crown of rejoicing. He said, ye are our crown of rejoicing, or our crown of joy. In other words, what he was saying was those that have been saved under our ministry, you're our crown of joy.
Amen.
So if you are not actively going out and telling others about the gospel, then the only way you getting in on that crown is through the sacrifices you make in the church.
Amen.
And the sacrifices you make for the mission field.
Amen.
Is everybody right?
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have the responsibility to do it.
That's right.
We all.
Yep.
Go ye into all the world. That was a That was everybody. You have a responsibility. You might not be doing it, but you have a responsibility.
That's right.
But you can get in on a blessing. Amen. By the sacrifices that you make in the local church, on the mission field. Is everybody all right? In our outreach and the things that we're trying to do around here. You get a blessing. We started 54 churches, 54, 56 churches. Think of all the fruit. Think of all the crowns. Oh, if you help plant one of them churches, think of all the crowns. Think of all the fruit. If you've been a part of this ministry and you worked in this ministry and you see, how many people have we seen saved since 2012? Crowns of rejoicing. You get a part of that if you're here doing that. Is everybody with me? This is what Paul's saying. I'm doing all this because my focus is on the lost. I have a responsibility. Jesus' last prayer request was for laborers. The harvest, the fields were ripe. They're ready. Jesus says, pray ye for laborers. People that'll go.
Amen.
Is everybody with me? People that'll reach the lost.
Yep.
He didn't say, pray for some discipleship classes. Pray for some Sunday school classes.
That's right.
By the way, I can't find a Sunday school class in the Bible, but we'll move on from that. Let's pray for some of these other things, all right?
That's right.
But how many of us are praying for laborers? That's what his prayer was. And then a command that Jesus gave us to go. Ye, me, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You and I have that responsibility. Is everybody okay? Y'all getting quiet on me. We see Paul's service. We see Paul's steadfastness. We see Paul's supplication. Lastly, we see Paul's striving. Let's keep on reading verse number 22. He says, to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Preacher, all these people going to come into church and we ain't going to have no place to sit. It's going to be packed in here. But what if some people get saved?
That's right. Come on now.
Well, they ain't all getting saved. Paul said it. If just some get saved, it's worth it.
Amen.
I need, everybody look at me right now. If it's your one family member that gets saved,
right.
It's worth it. If it's your one that you've been praying for and asking God to save, and they get saved on Easter Sunday, it's worth it. 800 people, I mean, sitting on top of each other, look like sardines, hot in here, ain't got no seat, whining and crying, and then all of a sudden that one you've been praying for steps out in the aisle, tears in their eyes, walks down to the altar and says, I need Jesus, and I don't care. I don't care what's going on. You go, woo, in your spirit. In your spirit. It'd be worth it then. For just one. Paul says, I've done all these things that might win some, might save some. He says, and this I do, next verse, and this I do for the gospel's sake. Paul said, I ain't doing it so I can get a larger paycheck.
Come on.
I ain't doing it so I can get a larger congregation. I'm not doing it so that they can put my name in the paper. I'm not doing it so the rest of the churches around town can say that I'm the pastor of a mega church.
Amen.
Paul says, I'm doing it all for the gospel's sake. That I might be, here it is, partaker.
There you go.
With you.
That's right.
We get to see... We get to, us, those that are made sacrifice, we get to see it. Next verse. Know ye not that they, here we go. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Next verse. And every man that striveth for the master is temperate. That means self-controlled. In all things. I need somebody to help me. Y'all ever seen a finely tuned athlete? I mean, you can see, I got a six pack. It's under a bunch, but I got it. It's there. I wouldn't call myself a finely tuned athlete. But I got a six pack. Is everybody all right? I feel it every time I had to get out of the chair. But some of y'all know what I'm talking about if you're my age. All right. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, for them to compete on a level that they can win, they got to make some sacrifices. That means when they sit down at the table, they can't eat the strawberry shortcake with all the whipped cream on top of it. But I can because I'm supporting them. Amen. I don't want to mess this up. Y'all leave me alone. All right. So what Paul's saying is if I'm going to strive, he takes us to an athlete. This theme is making sacrifice. This theme that Paul is running for these two chapters is you might have to give up some things. And Paul said, hey, if I'm going to strive for the mastery, in other words, if I'm running to win, then I'm going to have to be temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They do it to obtain a trophy. He says, but we do it. The church does it for an incorruptible. That's one of them that don't fade away. That's one of them that don't rust. That's one of them that after 10 years over there on the shelf, it don't look like it spent 10 years on the shelf. It looks just as new 10 years from now than it did the day you got it.
That's right.
That's that incorruptible. Paul said they put themselves under subjection and they make sacrifices so that they could obtain a trophy that's corruptible.
Amen.
That'll end up in a trash can. It'll end up back in the dirt. He said, but we do it for an incorruptible. In other words, we do it for eternal things.
Yeah.
Eternal things. Things that don't fade away.
That's right.
Next verse. I therefore so run. Now, Paul ain't talking about running a race right here. He's talking about what was his focus? The lost. That I might gain. Does everybody remember that? What was he gaining? He wasn't gaining money. He wasn't gaining titles. He wasn't gaining trophies. Well, he was, but it wasn't physical trophies. Spiritual trophies. Is everybody with me? Paul says, I'm running this race. I'm going to run it with all I got. Not as uncertainty. So fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. In other words, I ain't sparring. I'm giving it all I got. We in a fight. We in the middle of it. We're in a contest. Satan trying to take him to hell as quick as he can. We're in a contest. We ain't got time to beat at the air. We ain't got time to run a race with uncertainty, not knowing where we know what the finish line is. We know what happens if we don't reach them. They die and go to hell.
That's right.
So Paul says, since I know the outcome of the race, since I know that he said, since I know the outcome of the race, let me see what, go back one verse, I'm sorry. Go back one verse. So, because I know the end of the race, and because I know the enemy that I'm facing, I ain't got time to spar, I ain't got time to lollygag.
That's right.
I got to run, and I got to fight. Now go to the next verse, thank you. But I keep under my body, and bring it unto subjection.
Amen.
Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, I have to, lastly here, he says, I'm setting the example. His striving. As we look at his striving, I wrote some things down. His endeavor. His endeavor was for eternal things. We've already mentioned that. His effort, he said, I run, therefore I run. He wasn't running. Is everybody with me right here? He wasn't running just to be in the race. He was running to win. There's a lot of people that's just comfortable being in the race. I remember when I was in high school and the football team, we had a bunch of guys out there, and a lot of those guys were just content being on the team. I wasn't. I didn't have that mentality. I wanted to be in the game. I didn't care what position you put me in. I just wanted to be in the game. I mean, I ran the ball. I played linebacker. I ran the ball. I even practiced with the wide receivers. I could catch better than any of them. We just didn't have nobody to throw it to us. We had a guy that played. He was our quarterback, and they put him in a black jersey. And I remember, man, they used to get on. I like to win. Is everybody all right? Y'all might know this. Y'all might not. But anyhow, I love to win. And, man, they'd punish us if we let him complete a pass. And they dropped back. He have on a black jersey. And that meant you can't touch him. You couldn't hit him. And so he'd drop back, and I'd have to run back there and do like this. And he'd throw a pass, and they'd catch it, and then I'd get punished for it. So I lined up the next play. I need somebody to help me. They run the same play. He dropped back. Boy, he thought he was just going to have it all made. I come in there like a missile. Is everybody all right? Head hunting. I wasn't looking for nothing. I put my helmet right on his chin. I mean, I tried to knock him out. Black jersey and all. Three coaches grab a hold of me. They snatch me up. They said, boy, you want to play quarterback Friday night? I said, yes, sir, I do. I promise you, if I'm lying, I'm dying. God, strike me dead right now. I say, yes, sir, I do. Put me in, coach. I don't care where I get to play. I do not want to sit on the sidelines. I'm not here just to be on the team. Put me in. Let me make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. Paul said, I'm running. I'm not running this thing just to be in the race. I'm running to win. We see his effort. We see his enemy. You and I have a real enemy, and I don't think we realize how bad of an enemy we have.
That's right. Come on now.
Satan is snatching people out from under us. Right. As quick as that right there, and we're acting like we got all the time in the world.
Amen.
We're acting like we can give our loved ones years and years and years to get saved, but the truth is that today,
right,
God might require their soul.
Amen.
Today might be the day that they stand before God, kneel before God, and he says to them, depart, for I never knew you. We have a real enemy. Our enemy is time. Our enemy is complacency. Our enemy is self-centeredness. I'm more important. My pride, my whatever, I'm more important. My comfort. Paul said, we to be an example. He said, I run this race and I make sacrifices. He's using an athlete, but he's not talking about a physical race. He's using an athlete and he's saying, I'm running this race. And I'm keeping my body under subjection. What he's saying is I'm making sacrifices.
That's right.
Because I want to win. I want to gain more. I want to see others saved. He says, I'm doing all of this so that when I stand and preach to others, they won't look at me and say, what a hypocrite. Oh, you're enjoying all the comforts. You're not making any sacrifices but asking us to. That man hurt my heart. I didn't say nothing to him, and maybe I should have. because it's the mentality of so many Christians today. I paid for this. I'm the one that tithes. It's my chair. Everybody all right? My parking spot. I get here early so I can get it. So many are unconcerned with a race that they don't even realize we're in. They're losing because they're not willing to put their bodies under subjection. Let me say it this way. Paul put his comforts, Paul put those things that would seem to be a necessity to most, he put them under subjection. His spirit said, I'll go without so that somebody else might be saved. Lord, help us to be like Paul. Lord, help us to have compassion for that crowd that's going to walk in on Easter Sunday. And I pray. I've been praying. We've set a goal for 50. I hope it's 100. I hope it's 500. A walk an aisle and get saved. And I hope there's so many people that come that for the next 2 months, I got to listen to y'all say, we ain't got nowhere to sit. I ain't got nowhere to park. I ain't got nowhere to do. Is everybody all right? Just so we can win some. Bow your heads with me and let's get our hearts right. You can do it right there at your seat. Let's get our hearts right. Let's ask for a heart like Paul had. Paul says, have you seen me do? He said, you do. What a testimony. I don't know that I could tell somebody what you see me do. You do. I mean, I could. Don't get me wrong. But if they seen everything, whew. Sometimes I sure don't feel like an example. And I'm sure Paul at times didn't either. I know there's instances in his ministry where he wished he could go back. Things like how he handled the situation with John Mark. But Paul's heart couldn't be questioned. He had a love for people, a desire to reach the lost, an obligation to the gospel, a necessity to perform the calling that God had placed on his life. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for a wonderful service. God, I thank you for Scripture. Thank you. We can walk through Scripture. We can learn from it. We can apply it to our lives and, Lord, become better Christians for it. But Lord, that only happens with a heart that's willing to yield to what it's heard. A heart that's willing to address areas that need to be repaired. Needs to be changed. Lord, I pray tonight that you minister to hearts. Where a heart's been hardened from a bad situation, a difficult circumstance. God, I pray tonight you'd soften that heart. Once again, Lord, I pray they would have compassion again, a love for those that are lost, a desire to reach them. and a willingness to sacrifice. Lord, help us to do our part as Paul did, preaching the gospel to every creature. I thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Bless us as we go our separate ways. May we finish this week off running our race, striving to win, making the necessary sacrifices so that you would be honored and glorified, be lifted up, and draw men to you unto salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.